This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 60 in the books. Look at me.
Wow.
Getting ahead of myself. One in the books, two to go.
Oh, there you go.
Still 2 hours
Plenty
left
more.
Of the big show. The best list of the three starts right now. As the Wayback Wednesday for the year 1987. Look, I covered for your ass, so you better just start being nice in there. Because of the fact that James Harden's streak is going to continue tomorrow night against the Lakers, we went 32 years back to 1987 to put together our list for today.
Because Barry's not a team player.
I mean, that's not why. But
normally, when you're on the same team and you work together, you let your colleagues know, hey, you made a mistake.
Oh, really?
Just one mistake, a humanly common mistake.
You would let me know that.
Yeah, I would. I would totally let you know.
Well, he would until you pissed him off with several things recently, and now he's changed his mind.
Well, I mean, he has voted the angriest man on the show.
Which is
that
very
is not
accurate.
True. That is not true.
I'm totally with you.
That was just you two ganging
you
up on me.
I don't even hear anything. Is
and
that going
convincing
on over
the listeners.
So, Barry, we're talking about spring training and the fact that with everything going on with the Astros and their great uniforms.
And just remember, there's only one gatekeeper on the text line, and that's Barry.
Well, that is true, too. So we had the best uniforms.
Yep.
We have the team that Vegas is saying has the best chance to have the best record with the most wins. And so Jim Crane, the owner, made an appearance down at spring training. Mark Berman and others were there to hear him speak. And what was great news is because we've all kicked around on this show. We know that they're going to have a good pitching staff regardless of how they figure out the back end of the rotation this year. But at the end of this year, we know Cole, we know Verlander are free agents, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to have Jim Crane not only address it, but say not only does he want to re-sign him, he doesn't want to wait till free agency. He wants to talk about extensions when they want to talk about him, and that's always great to hear.
You know, it's always sticky, but, you know, we'll try to pick a good spot. It could be at the end of the season. It could be during the season. I mean, it just depends on what they want to do and you know, whether they want to stick here and for what number they want to stick here. So if there's a common ground there someplace, if we don't reach it, then sometimes we won't go after it.
Yeah, it was windy there. And he went on to say, even after that, look, you know, we want them back. And, you know, he said, we know we're going to have one of the top five payrolls in baseball, which he's cool with. And that's what really means the
like
most
that.
To me.
Yeah.
You go back to the Drayton era and you realize that they were penny pinching. They didn't want to spend any money. When they did, they'd spend it on the wrong guy like Carlos Lee. You know, this is an owner that I don't think the fans really appreciate enough in realizing this is a guy that's going for it. And once he gets there and he tastes that success, he wants to taste it again, and that's great for your fan base.
Also, settle down a little bit. I mean, was that you saying top five or him?
He said it.
Well, they're 10 right now.
Right now. But he said they're not done. He also made very, very clear, we're not done whether we add someone now or around the break and or the deadline. We're going to keep doing things. But he said, and he right out there in one of those quotes, he said, look, I know we're going to be right up there with the Red Sox and the Yankees in the top five in payroll, and I'm good with that.
Well, that means he's going to add at least somebody making $14 million a year.
Great.
Because they're $14 million behind the Dodgers, I mean the Angels at five.
I'm fine with that.
Well, I'm just telling you that if he plans on being a top five payroll, that could be two $7 million players or one $14 million player. But right now they're sitting at 10 at 153. The Angels are five at 167. And let's not – he's mentioning himself amongst the Dodgers and the Yankees. And don't get me wrong. I love my Astros. I love what Jim Crane has done. He spent the money he said he would. We suffered through 100 lost seasons and not spending money. And I hated it. And I was – reluctant to trust him that he would spend money, but he's kept his word. But even if he gets to 167, the Dodgers at four are at 192. That's a big leap.
They and the Yankees are,
I mean, your top
four
is the Red Sox at 221, the Cubs at 210, the Yankees at 197, and the Dodgers at 192. So even if they do take over fifth place at 167, you're still almost 25 mil behind four in the Dodgers. So
I'm not
complaining.
Still good, because before you've been in the bottom five.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you can skew that a little bit If you really want to stomp with the big dogs, you're going to be up around 195.
But again, look at the markets we're talking about. We're talking about New York, Chicago, no Los Angeles, as opposed to Houston, which is a big city, but not that kind of metropolis.
I'm not hating on Jim Crane, and I'm not suggesting that they're not spending money and going for it. I'm certainly not doing that. I'm just saying 25 mil is a big difference.
A big jump. But at the same time, he also addressed the fact that with Marwin out there and Dallas Keuchel out there, they continue to have conversations. Like he said, even if we didn't make big offers to those guys, they had some that have now gone by the wayside. And he said, he basically left the door open to say that he's not going to close the door. There's a chance that one of them could be back.
Oh, well.
But they really don't need Marwin, do they?
No. You have we've talked about it. Ladimus Diaz is the poor man's Marwin Gonzalez. He's younger. He can do a lot of the same things. I don't know that you need to do that unless you feel like Marwin is going to be your designated left fielder. This is the guy we want out there in left field, but then you went out and signed Brantley, so that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So what do you do with a guy like Marwin? You're going to pay all that money for a backup? Because essentially, now that you've solved left field,
What are you
going to do?
And you have versatility because Gurriel can play so many different positions, too.
He can play third.
He can play first and third. He's played second. Yes. So you've got some guys. Now, he may not play outfield like Marwin did, but other than that, you've got a surplus of outfielders, like you said, so you don't really need that as much. But then the name Keuchel comes in. If it's not Marwin and they're looking at Keuchel, is Keuchel going to bet on himself and going to say, hey, you know what? I didn't get the money I thought I deserved this last year. I'm gonna go on a short term deal. I'm gonna go with the team I know, with the best chance to win, with the best lineup to give me run support, and take a shot at it again. Because as we talked about when Manny Machado signed yesterday, I said, was that the first domino to fall?
Yeah.
Now everybody's waiting on Harper, but now addressing the Padres and Machado, they said, look, now they're kind of going from rebuilding on the fly to, and we were talking about their starting pitching. Bottom line is now Keuchel's on the top of their list because now they're going to have to address the rotation this year possibly so that they don't fall flat on their face. $30 million for Manny and nothing to back it up.
Yeah. I was trying to look through SpotTrack to see who is still out there.
So Gio Gonzalez and Keuchel are on the Padres' radar for starting pitching.
I'm just saying in general.
Oh.
And for some reason, I look at the list of free agents on SpotTrack, mm-hmm. but it still has guys like Machado and Pollock and McCutcheon, and all these guys have signed.
Right.
Zach Britton, that's all listed, but if I scroll down, it doesn't give me a great
look. Kimbrel's still out there.
Yeah.
If you need a closer.
Well.
I know he's out there. It's slowly but surely now progressing. Still, there's, I think as we opened spring training, there was over 100 free agents that were prominent role players on other teams last year that were still out there.
So like I can see guys like Adam Jones is still available, Keuchel, and they've got his market value at 22, which that is too much for Keuchel. But you're right, Craig Kimbrel is available. Evan Gattis is still a free agent. So there are still some options. So, yes, he could go out. They have Marwin's. Wow, this is crazy. They have Marwin Gonzalez's market value at $18 million, 17.9. No way in hell do I pay Marwin Gonzalez $18 million a year. No way. I would pay maybe 10, but you don't need that kind of guy anymore on this team.
No, this team has to address pitching. Starting pitching right now, if they're going to do anything or adding to the bullpen, because Sip is a free agent.
Right.
And there's going to be a couple of spots maybe in the pen. But yeah, they don't need to worry about a utility player anymore.
So they've some of the names that they have still out there. Gio Gonzalez, we mentioned before. Keuchel, Irvin Santana, James Shields. Not a lot of sexy names. I mean, Doug Fister is an option that's out there.
No, he retired.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he retired.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he decided that it was it. He retired.
Okay. Yep. I would like to see him go get Bartolo Colon. Just kidding.
Well, then you better increase the buffet line.
He's 46.
What, his waistline or his age?
I was hoping you would pick
either
up.
Either one.
But I was putting down.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Well All done. Right. Well done.
All right, we'll take a break. If you guys got something on your mind, you want to get off your chest, give us a call. 713-780-3776. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two, 3 hour show. Getting up about that halfway point when Lance Zierlein will join us and we will talk just about anything with Lance when he comes on the show.
I'm guessing it'll be football related, but what I like about Lance is it doesn't have to be.
I mean, he's a connoisseur of food. It could be about cuisine. It's definitely not
strippers.
About not about fashion.
Lance is like, I'm not.
Football. Nope. Lots of stuff. Yeah. So Lance will join us at 2:30, so that's always fun. So check that out as well. We were talking about the Astros. The Rockets play tomorrow night. They play the Lakers in L.A. So still one more day. You know what? Of all the things the NBA did that didn't get a lot of notice, I do like the fact that it used to be a grind for the All-Stars. It's almost like punishment if you were an All-Star because you had to fly there. And, you know, you didn't get any time off, and they got you running all over the place. Then you go all the way through the games and everything else, and then they would push you right back to start the rest of the season. Now, just so that guys in the All-Star game can get a couple of days, the entire league takes a full week off. I think that's a good move.
It's smart. It's smart. It really is.
And in the long run, it actually prevents injuries, too, because if guys are, you know, burning it at both ends and really burning and wearing themselves down, that kind of stuff can happen.
Yeah.
So I do like that. So that's cool. So the Rockets tomorrow night, they'll get back at it, and there'll be plenty to talk about there. From a football perspective, lots of news coming out today in the fact that the Steelers have come out publicly and said that they will allow Le'Veon Bell to become a free agent. They aren't going to use the franchise tag anymore. So he is out there.
Well, you saw what that got you before. Why would you struggle through that? Save your franchise tag, use it on somebody else.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Whether you want it now, but I'll say this in rebuttal to that. Whether you have, and we've seen both from an organizational and a player standpoint, they will, for the sake of their feelings, and just to take a shot at the other side, just to screw with them. They could have gotten involved in that, but then they don't want to get caught, in this case, caught holding the bag in case they really have to do sign him.
And it might be the fact that the Steelers just recognize that it's absolute chaos in that locker room and turmoil. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? They literally in the same week have said, we're just going to move on from Le'Veon Bell and we're not going to fight that anymore. We're going to move on from Antonio Brown. We're not going to fight that anymore. It's basically the Steelers saying, enough is enough. We're tired of this crap. We're tired of these, you know, crybaby players. We're done with them. If they don't want to be a Steeler, if they don't want to be part of this organization, bye.
And it's a tough,
that's smart move.
You know what? It's a smart move, but it's also a tough move to make for your fan base because fans put championships above culture,
yeah,
and everything else. And at some point, for the long term longevity of your franchise. And from your coaching staff and everything that you do from a football perspective, you have to put value on your locker room. I mean, obviously, Jerry Jones doesn't all the time. And the Raiders are another team that just think that they can absolutely turn whoever it is around and get them, you know, to do things so that they, as long as they play football.
I was going to ask, do you think that that's a case of the Raiders and even the Cowboys to a certain degree thinking they can turn those guys around, or do they just not care?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
I think that they think that, you know what, if you get into a winning culture and you're winning a lot of games, that guys might fall into line a little bit more or change their ways. They tried to do it with T.O. in Dallas. We've seen everything from Greg Hardy and the other guys that they've brought in. But you look at it and say, but at another, you go, because you know that Davis in Oakland and now even with Gruden, Gruden feels like he knows who, quote unquote, his guys are. And if he gets his guys, like he had Keyshawn and Warren Sapp in Tampa.
Right.
And off the field, Keenan can tell you. I mean, those guys got away with a lot, but as long as they performed, and they also had to respect Gruden a little more because he did let them get away with some things. But, you know, it's just how much can you take? Because I think it is. It's a combination of the two.
Yeah. There's a few teams like the Texans, a few, that put a priority on off-the-field conduct. But I think the majority of the teams fall in the middle where they're like, we just don't want the headache. You know, it's not about necessarily winning or losing. We just don't want the. And then there's that Raiders, Cowboys, the Bengals at one point were like that, where it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
We just want to win. Whatever.
Think about since Pac-Man Jones, Burfict, all the guys that they just kept bringing in. And every time Burfict got dinged with another fine and another suspension, they didn't care.
No.
The meltdown in the playoffs against the Steelers. So Cincinnati was right up there at the top of that list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at it, but you say, when's enough enough? Because... But the problem is, for Steelers fans, you might be happy that they made these moves, but you also have to realize with these moves, you've taken a step back in terms of talent and what could happen
in
the future.
Where did Connor finish in rushing yards last year?
He was dinged up a little bit at the end of the year. I don't know. He definitely wasn't in like the top five, but
he was 11.
And you know what?
Guess who he tied with? Lamar Miller.
But
973 yards.
Just rushing alone.
Just rushing yards alone.
He was decent out of the backfield. He had some catches.
He averaged 4.5 yards a carry, which was a 0.1 less than Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller averaged 4.6 yards a carry, which is also, when you think about it, that's a pretty darn good average. And people were like, well, this sucks. I mean, 4.6 isn't bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. So you look at it, you essentially have a top 10 back in James Conner for the Steelers. If I'm the Steelers and you're looking at Le'Veon Bell, you're like, okay, bye. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster, so you can fade.
Absolutely.
You're like, okay, this guy. Now, would you love to have Juju Smith-Schuster a 5 and a 1 in Antonio Brown? Absolutely.
Yep.
They finished. Juju Smith-Schuster had more yards. He had 1,400 yards. Brown had 1,300 yards. Would you love to have that combo? Sure, but at least you know you have a 1. You've got a top 5 receiver, at least in as far as overall production.
And is... So Connor's on the cheap right now. So is $12 or $13 million spent worth the extra couple hundred yards rushing at the end of the year between, and you throw in some receiving, but Bell versus Connor? Because you could spend that money a whole lot.
You've got the
places.
Whole defensive side of the ball you could fix, and you still have a top 5 receiver in Schuster, a top 10 back in Connor, a top 5 to 7. Quarterback, maybe slipping a little bit in
still
Big Ben,
decent, yeah.
But you still have a big
good
three.
Tight end.
You still have a big three, and if you can take all that money that would have been tied up in those guys and get a pick for Antonio Brown and spend that money on the defensive side of the ball that you would normally spend on Le'Veon Bell, you're a better football
team. Because their offensive line is still good too. So yeah,
if Connor was just your average run of the mill, you know, finished 20 something in the league in rushing, then you'd be like, oh, you got to address that. But he's not.
But you have to worry about the Browns are coming.
Yeah.
So they're going to be there with the division stuff. So
I wouldn't worry about the Browns yet. I mean, the Steelers should still be the class of that division. Should. Baltimore has something to say about it.
Yeah.
We'll see how a full year of Lamar Jackson works out. But I think the Steelers should still win that division.
I don't know.
If they address their defensive
holes. I don't
know.
I know P. Randizzle's going to be texting.
If they address... If they can get better in the secondary and maybe shore up the middle of that defense at linebacker, that's a better football team than they were.
Okay, we'll see. We will see. Lance Zierlein's going to join us next as we open up the second half of the show, so hopefully you will hang with us. And if you want to join, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, second half. Coming up next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, forget the conversation in the background. We're back. It's the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, joined by one of the two hosts of the number one sports show in the city.
My man.
The Bench.
All right. Yeah. So does this make us part of the number one shows? So having you on. Instead of you coming on to the number one shows, having you on makes us part of the number one show.
I started those rules, so I don't know how. I got to think about that. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's...
Well... You know,
yeah, I mean, I feel like it.
Yeah,
we'll get
part
you
of
guys on
one.
For a segment to talk about like what do y'all have on the
early.
Show.
I'm not coming in that early.
I'm What's driving, early I'm for driving you guys? Taylor to school, so I'm fine.
Well, you listen.
I, listen
I know
to you,
you
guys,
listen
because
yeah,
I text.
What
you.
Do you? What do you like? What's your Please. Day like?
I get up at 5:30 with my wife. She leaves, so
do
she
you
wakes
really,
me.
For
up.
Real?
Yeah, and she wakes
not
me up.
But you don't get up on purpose.
No, I tell her I want to kiss her goodbye. Wake me up because I'm.
How long you been married?
20 years. I've been with her for 20 years.
You still do the kiss
yeah,
goodbye?
Bro.
Actually,
yeah.
No, my wife does that still to me.
Yeah, I want to make
you
sure.
You don't do it on the flip side.
Bro, what if she what
yeah,
if she has
I do,
a car
I get in
wreck?
Trouble. I'm not supposed to wake her up ever. She's a cranky sleeper, like super cranky.
Okay.
So there's nothing jumping off in the middle of the night. I'll just tell you that. And I already
no
said
nachos?
That too.
No. There's no nachos?
Ever. And I said never, ever. She goes, never for the rest of our lives.
Wow.
I'm like, what about like when we were dating? She goes, we're not dating.
It's wow.
Over. So she told me, don't wake me up. I don't like to wake up. Now she wakes up and she'll go work out at like 5:30, 6 in the morning before taking the kids to school.
Now is
she'll
she
go
quiet?
Get a 1 hour workout.
Because Joel goes through this where if he's up and his wife's asleep, he's got to be extra quiet. Mm-hmm. But if he's yeah. asleep and she gets up, she's loud.
Oh,
she wakes
game.
Him up.
She wakes me up for
she's
anything.
Not. No, you know what? She's not too bad. But I do like I do wake up. But it's not like she's not waking up much. Earlier than I
best
am.
Thing I saw
Only
was a
sometime.
Meme it said when it was a guy and he said when she's asleep and I'm awake and it was a dude dressed in a ninja outfit and he no, was no. like creeping around
yeah
and then it said when I'm asleep and she's awake and it was some chick playing the drums
yeah
it was you like yeah that's exactly what
actually,
it's like
that's whenever I go to if I go to bed early she takes it as a personal affront like I'm leaving her with kids I don't know what it is so she's loud going to oh, bed
purpose.
She's actually not loud waking up but going to bed,
she
the lights
you
come
know.
On. She's, I'm like,
well, you know, Lisa gets up at 2 a.m., like 1:45 or 2 a.m. And so she
even.
Lets the dogs out and then takes a shower. If she comes back into the kitchen to let the dogs in and none of the one of the dogs won't come in, she will go, babe, you up? Babe, you up? And then and the door, the bedroom door. And so I will probably say nothing to hope that she'll just leave me alone.
Yeah. I
so
do that
her
when
next,
babies
so I figure
up.
She'll turn and walk away. No, she'll take 3 more steps to the bed and go, babe, you up? And start slapping me on the shoulder like I
slap.
Am now.
Yeah.
What? She goes, I got to start doing my hair and makeup. Would you let Boomer back in? I go, let him in. Like, just open the door. Like, you couldn't do that. She's like, well, I tried. He didn't want to do it, but I
see?
Know you can help
see?
Me out.
And if he did that to her, holy
oh,
hell,
oh,
it's
God.
Over with.
No, you can't. No, the rules, they don't play by the same.
No, they,
no
not
we
at
know
all.
That.
But no, I tell my wife, wake me up at 5:30 when you leave. I give her a kiss because, God forbid, something happens. And
right.
No, I want to kiss her goodbye, and then I'll do some show prep, and then I'll take a nap. Sure, I'll go back
he
to bed.
He wakes up at 11. Yeah.
And then I'll get up at 11 and get ready. So I'll go
we
to
don't
you
go
know
until 1, so he gets another.
Yeah. One of the best times of my life was I did a 1 hour show with I'm not a 1 hour show. I did a 3 hour show with Charlie Polillo starting at
that was the best time of my life.
Just end it right there,
well,
and we all can completely.
He goes, I didn't finish.
I started at 3. Charlie just tolerated me. Like Charlie's
okay.
brilliant.
Yeah,
so,
he
I mean
is.
We know that,
right?
And it was good talking sports with him, but I just felt like Charlie was just like, let's move it along. Like,
let's go, dummy.
I would leave the last
Keep
hour,
up,
and
dummy.
I think he was so excited when I was gone the last hour.
Say, let's talk about the dinner I had last night. I'm like, yeah.
No,
let's
it
talk
stayed.
About the numbers.
Yeah, it stayed down the right down the lane. But I was in from 3 to 6. I woke up. I was in the best shape of my life. I was in great shape. I was well rested. I would wake up at about 9.
That was afternoon drive?
Or 10, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's ideal.
I would get workouts in. I would just come in and prep for about 2 hours. Like it was
See?
It
yeah,
was,
that's a great slot.
This slot isn't bad. Y'all can you can sleep in if you want. This isn't a
I
bad
can't.
Slot at all.
I got a wife that goes to work at.
Well, you can't.
Yeah,
no,
and then
I
got
sleep
the.
In.
So my daughter's got to be at school.
What time does your wife go to bed?
Well, she's supposed to go to bed like 7:30 or 8.
Right.
That's crazy.
And then she gets up at 1:45 to 2, leaves the house at 3:30, and then and they
well,
gotta,
she doesn't. So she gets about the same amount of sleep I do. Then.
Probably. Yeah, she's averaging 4.5 hours a night. That's
I did crazy. A 7:90. I average 4:45 usually because the Fitbit will tell you. You know about
yeah.
Anything if I got 5.5, it would be pretty good right now. It's under 6 for me now, but it's, you know, I get more than I did.
Do you nap?
No.
Yeah, Lisa can't nap.
I feel bad. Sometimes I'll go to bed at like 8, 9 o'clock at night with the wife, get up at 5:30, then she leaves, and I go right back to bed and get up at 11. I mean, I'm getting so much sleep.
<It's> just... Yeah, I know. Something about it, I feel like I'm missing out on things. I don't
really?
know. I can't. I can't describe it. I don't take naps. I get groggy. I don't like the feeling I get it when I take naps.
You're big on caffeine.
Huge on
Lisa
caffeine.
Lisa is too. Lisa see, will roll through caffeine.
I think there's some. I'm always tired. So, like, I could sleep. I could go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, get up at 5:30. As soon as the door closes, I'm right back to bed, and I won't get up till 11, and I'll still be tired. So I think I might have, like, iron deficiencies or something. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Lance can tell you about that late
IT clinic, I can tell you. That's right.
I tried that, too. I went that route. It made me go. It almost made me go blind. I had to get off of the treatment.
What do you mean you almost made you go blind? Blind hell.
I thought I was having a stroke on air. I started having I started having, what do they call them? Ocular migraines?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where Nick everything was getting wavy
and
blurry.
He's a comedian. I don't know if you know this or not. So we thought he was kidding. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm dead serious.
I was like, guys, I don't know what's going on right now, but if I die, tell Nora I love her. I think I'm having
a
stroke.
On the air?
Yeah, I was like, I'm having a stroke. Apparently, everything. That's good content. I couldn't see.
I wish John almost had. I wish John almost had that on the air. That would be money.
Yeah, me too. I wish
John almost died on the air. Did you hear it?
That is something we look forward to. Like they were kind of silently rooting. I think they were texting back and forth, like how long I would last.
Nick
if
was
I died
like, "Hey,
before.
So anyway, whether Barry's serious or not, I'm good for tomorrow, and we'll start working on the rundown." And I'm like, "All right, cool, let's go."
I can fill in for him. No, it's the thing. Like, and then I found out. I called them, and they were like, "Yeah, you got to get off that meds."
Have you read that story yet?
Well, it's no. I've read it, but it's in the queue to talk with because.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's he's pointing at the story about the guy that had to go to the dog park covered in peanut butter.
Oh, see, that's just going to stir up a whole can of worms with Nicholas. So,
Yeah,
that's a good one. Michael Connor, old buddy Michael Connor, he had one where his brother was in a league. I don't know.
Fantasy football.
It was in a fantasy football. In the we haven't done any last place finisher stuff. We've had a league for like 20 years.
Year off. That's the one you had Daryl Morey in.
Yeah, we've had Dennis Lindsay in it. Two NBA GMs have been in there.
One's a great guy.
And so I like them both for the record.
Just read between the lines. It's fine.
So I will make sure I never tell Dennis what you said.
I love Dennis.
So anyway, he finished. So we don't have any last place finisher stuff. But Michael Connor's brother has one where if you finish last, you have to keep in your car in sight, and I think there's a penalty if you're ever caught, like, not. You have to have this largish sex toy in the back of your car, in sight, in the back seat at all times.
I hope you got all single guys, because if a wife sees that.
I don't know.
Like, on the...
No, it can be in the back seat, but it has to be in view. You have to be able to look in the window and see it.
So it's essentially the Mets locker room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? You can just, as long as you can see the sex toy in someone's stall, you're eligible.
That's the same thing. Wow. It's the same thing. That's pretty raw.
That is pretty raw. At least you don't have to have it, like, tied to the bumper or something, like, just married cans or something.
We could have got some truck nuts on there.
Yeah.
Or replace it. I don't know.
That's the whole thing now on your trailer hitch. You got to have the.
Don't look at this guy. I don't know.
I don't know that we have to have it necessarily, but people do.
They sure do.
But what's crazy is this happening. Dude. So it this is. Guy lost his fantasy. He blamed Le'Veon Bell for losing. He's like, this is. I drafted him. That's
Bailed
why
out
I lost.
On Le'Veon and go to the. I mean.
But that's what he blamed it on. But he had the choice of paying $250 or going to the dog park covered in peanut butter. And he still chose not to pay the money.
See what he looks like.
He chose to go to the dog park.
Run out of the dog park?
He is slathered in it. Like, he is slathered in it.
What's he wearing? Anything?
No. I think he's got on shorts. But, yeah, he's covered head to toe in peanut butter.
Oh, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go to a dog park, that's a terrible loss.
What's weird is Nick just does this. Oh, he is? Is he naked?
Dude, he's naked.
Yo, this is called a Saturday for Nick. This is just
this is why we didn't want to bring. I didn't want to bring this up because Nick already has a reputation with dogs and peanut butter. That's just unfair.
I don't know what it is, and I don't. I've got cornerbacks to watch. I don't want to know what it is. I got better.
You don't
want to
be watching that all around, right? Thinking about Nick and his dog and a jar of peanut butter.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
When is mock draft number 2 coming out, by the way?
No, he's got on underwear. He's not naked. That's just
pretty close.
Peanut butter
it's
covered
like
in underwear.
Colored.
Yeah.
It's a banana hammock.
It is going to be my mock draft is like, I don't know. It's in March after the
I heard
they don't have as many for me.
I saw one Kyler Murray kind of fell in a mock. Is that happening? Is that a thing?
Mel Kiper has him at 13, Miami.
I don't think. I think he goes before them.
Top five?
I don't think it's fallen. I don't know. I don't know where teams see him right now. Okay. To be honest with you, I don't think anyone does until after he talks to the combine. My guess is he's going top seven.
Okay.
Yeah, my next man.
Will
next
anybody move up to get a quarterback in the first round?
Is
anybody
going to shut you down again tonight?
What's that?
You went, oh man.
No, my mock is February
20. Don't wake me in the middle of the night, Lance. It's still not happening.
I've got a pre-combine mock because that sounds good.
February 20?
That sounds smart. 28.
Oh, I was like, today's the 20th. I don't know if you know that.
February 28th. I've got to be on mock draft. So.
You think anybody jumps up to grab a quarterback? Like if they like the Texans did with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty happen? Good chance because you have 7 and 6 clearly need a cornerback. I mean, a quarterback. Yep. So you know that 7 and 6 do. So if you're the Raiders, you could conceivably draft a quarterback. So if you're the Raiders, you could say, hey, I'll tell you what right now, man. We got a pick number 4 right here, and it is for sale, baby. We will give this sucker away for a first and a third. And you could see somebody like Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got Flacco, but still.
That's short term.
There's somebody else right there around Denver.
Now, have you changed it all on Arizona? Are they going to stick with Rosen?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I know what they're going to say right now. You can't, you know, they still haven't even talked to Kyler Murray. If you're interested in him, you got to go find out what the kid's like when you talk to him. You got to go get a feel for him. Part of this is playing poker.
Sure.
You got to go try to get a read on who he is as a person in a short period of time and based on all your background work with the coaching staff and people from his high school and everything else.
Yep.
But, so I don't know.
There's a lot between, like you said, the Raiders at 4, but man, when you look at it, Giants, the Jags, the Lions are probably not.
Broncos.
But the Broncos, the Bills.
I would argue
that
the Bengals.
The Bengals, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton. So
Miami Dolphins at 13. So I think there are teams where you could be a team like the Raiders and drop from 4 to, 11.
Yeah.
With the Bengals, for example, or 4 to 13. And it's not a crazy drop for you. You can get more.
Yeah.
And they already have a bunch of picks this draft.
And don't forget the Redskins at 15. The
Redskins
might
at 15.
They need something short term or maybe long term, depending on Alex Smith. So we'll let you get back to it. But I think, too, because of the fact we did the first video with you very casually in your filling station, windbreaker, and me in a hoodie,
right. We
should get people off your ass. The first one, we were very casually dressed. We'll up the dress as the mock becomes more important.
Yeah, sure.
I think that'll work.
Nice.
Okay. I'll eventually be on your level with the 3-piece and all that stuff, but not until the very end.
If you do the pocket square, then you're on.
You know what? One day I'm going to come up with tuxedo. We'll go tuxedo.
And I can match it. Just tell me when.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Just outshine him. Just.
I'm not going to tell you. It's dirty.
You're like, I roll up
did
the tuxedo.
Did I not play chameleon in a deck for you when
top
you didn't
hat?
Have?
You did. Yeah.
Okay.
I covered top you. Hat with gloves and chain.
A monocle.
Well, I'm not doing Mr. Peanut for you.
Pocket watch.
You go ahead and do that.
You're basically just going up. I'm just a character from Monopoly is what you're dressing as.
Or Mr. Peanut.
Little pocket watch thing going on. I like it, Lance. I like it.
That's Lance Erline. We appreciate him joining us weekly. We're going to be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'm familiar. I wait to eat, say, play him. So I'm going to have to diss who broke. You can get a smack for this. I ain't no joke. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a nice little kink in the regular routine to have Lance join us.
And Gruden on a mobile.
Yeah.
Join us.
Still grinding, man. It's crazy. I wonder if he's got a big screen TV and the joystick. And just while he's in bed with the wife, still breaking down tape.
Right.
Because he literally, if people don't know, he uses a PlayStation joystick to break down his video.
Yeah.
With all the control buttons.
Pretty crazy.
It is. It's nuts. So we were talking baseball before, but I know that. And we're both baseball junkies, but you really, really love getting into it about this time of the year. And now there's an article coming out on ESPN front page about cracking down on stealing signs.
Yeah, they taken it pretty serious. I know there were allegations that the Astros were caught up in 2 different times.
The Red Sox had the watch?
One saying that the Yankees were stealing signs and the Red Sox saying that the Astros were stealing signs, and then the Astros were saying, no, they were stealing signs. There were plenty of teams. I think that one source said there were like six teams that had cameras in the outfield used for stealing signs. So baseball comes out, and they're going to start cracking down on, high, and this is important, high-tech sign stealing. Sign stealing is in itself is not against the rules. There is Correct. No rule that says you can't pick up what the catcher's putting down on second base, relay that through a series of signs to whether you put your arm down on the right or arm down on the left to let them know inside or outside. All of that is perfectly well within the rules. What they're cracking down on is using technology, like you said, the watch, like an Apple Watch, to relay information. So a new set of rules will be will ban non-broadcast outfield cameras between the foul poles, so it can only be broadcast cameras between the foul poles. They're also going to restrict the ability of teams to monitor the broadcast, allowing only replay officials to see it in real time. There will be an 8-second delay on clubhouse and bullpen monitors. So you're not going to get it live like they had been getting it. They're going to change it now so you can't sit there and relay. Like if you see the catcher, you go, oh, it's inside, it's fastball, and then you can relay that out somehow through a series of signs. Can't do that anymore. Or maybe you've got –
But proving it's going to be hard. I mean, the umpire can say, look, I saw you gesture.
No, they're going to have people in the dugouts monitoring the communications.
So you got rats. You got – guys that are going to rat you out that are sitting by the manager. And
league-appointed monitors will be assigned to team replay officials to prevent them from communicating with other personnel.
I want that job.
Teams will also be required to detail the locations and purposes of their in-house cameras.
I want that job. I want to get paid to sit in the dugout and watch baseball that close and report anything that I hear.
They said that if you're caught violating any of this, if you put a camera in the outfield or you got somebody sitting in the stands with a camera in the outfield or whatever, you could lose draft picks, international spending money, and potentially more. So they're not going to have it. And this article that I saw said the commissioner, Rob Manfred, will make good on a promise from last season after the Astros were involved in two separate incidences. Yeah. And so I don't mind it. Like I kind of hate some of the unwritten rules of baseball, but I think sign stealing is one of those things. As long as it's on the field, if you're using technology, that's going a little far. I always wondered why it didn't happen sooner.
Yeah,
but I don't have a problem if a guy sitting in the dugout can get a read on a pitcher and he shares that with his teammates. Hey, look, if he's messing with the ball in his glove, like we saw what happened to Yu Darvish and the Astros. Because basically Joey Cora gets all the credit for figuring out that when he would go to his glove and mess with the ball, he was throwing an off-speed pitch. If he was throwing fastball, it was one grip and go, and he wouldn't mess with it. So they figured that out. They would know if it was going to be a fastball or off-speed. That's the legend anyways.
Well, because doesn't he get credit for being the one that caught Yu Darvish tipping his pitches too?
Literally just said that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the... I
literally just said Yu Darvish, Joey Cora. But yeah, that...
Because he's notorious on for other things. That's why he's gotten so close with Bregman and other guys too, because that's how in-depth he is on...
Well, Cora was known by many, even as a player, to be one of the best at reading a pitcher and getting tips and being able to relay that to his team, which is why a lot of people thought he would also make a good manager because he can help his team.
But
with
the other one was the catcher. That was the other one I was going to get to, but I never thought of this until I heard the article. I don't know if you realize this or not. Based on how the catcher puts down the signals, especially as a base runner, and he was teaching the guys to do this, even if the finger that's being pointed down, the one or the two or whatever it is, you can't see it. Based on the twitch in your forearm muscles, you can tell if it's a one or a two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he got the guys that's crazy. But it worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does. He's one of those new wave guys. But here's my thing. I don't agree with the fact that if you're just that good, that you should be punished for it.
Well, no. Again, this isn't cracking down on stealing signs. That's not what this is. This is a crackdown on the technology used to steal signs.
But you're saying if there's a monitor in the dugout and your guys are picking up the signs and then they're either hand signaling to the hitter themselves.
That's using
or through
technology.
The dugout.
What they're saying is, if you've got a runner on second base who can determine through the sequence of numbers that are fingers that are put down by the catcher, or if he can sneak a peek into the glove and see what grip is on the ball and be able to relay any of that information to the batter, that's totally legal.
Okay,
Totally legal. What you can't have is a camera in the outfield where you're monitoring every sequence that the catcher puts down and then charting it and then saying, okay, when he goes 1-2, 1-2-2, it's a fastball. That right. means it's either on the 1 or the 3, which is what the pitch is. Like, yeah, you can't use a
or
camera.
Or the indicator, right.
Right, you can't use a camera to do that. But you can use humans. You can be on the field or you can be in the dugout watching. But you can't use a watch, you can't use a camera, you can't use replay or the monitor set aside for replay. That's why they're putting it on an 8-second delay.
Here's the other thing. It's going to make the game longer.
Why?
It just, if you start getting into all this and then there's any kind of controversy about it and the fact that, I don't know if they're going to, how are they going to, is there any challenges involved in it, or is it just simply the monitor just, has to?
What
is
so the, if they catch, if let's say that, for example, the Astros, that big green wall mm-hmm. that they have, the mm-hmm. the batter's eye, mm-hmm. right, with the IV on it.
Right.
Let's say that they think they're going to be slick and put a very small little camera right. in the IV that can't be detected. If someone does figure that out, they would lose their picks. They would lose some international money. Then they would be fined because there was a camera that they were using. That's when the fines and so forth would take place. But other than that, yeah, I mean, everything's going to in the dugout is going to be on an 8-second delay. So by the time you figure it out, 8 seconds has passed. Unless it's just, you know, somebody ridiculously slow on the mound, you're not going to be able to use it. And again, they're going to have monitors there. So when you want to do a replay, they're going to have, Major League Baseball is going to have designated snitches that sit there and listen to your conversations. And if you happen to relay something, like, oh, but hey, we want to challenge this. And by the way,
there's gotta,
when he does this,
that.
They're going to say, nope, you can't relay that. That's using technology.
Send the
to
chubby
steal
little
signs.
Bat boy to grab the manager in the tunnel and tell him so that it's not monitored.
I'm just saying, you cannot use technology to steal signs. That's the problem. You can steal them, you just can't use technology.
Okay. I guess we're okay with that. I did think, by the way, it was funny when I told you they did that anniversary of the Kirk Gibson home run thing.
Uh-huh.
They said he said he couldn't play that game, and he goes, "I grabbed the bat boy and told him to go tell Tommy I'm good, I'm ready to go." And they interviewed the bat boy. Not only is he like 50,
wow,
but he still works for the Dodgers in the clubhouse.
Oh my
it's
god!
Like, talk about a lifelong job from bat boy. Good
wow.
for you. I don't know what they're paying you, but
look at him.
Not bad. All right, we got 2 hours in the books. We still got an hour to go. 60 minutes left of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the final 60 minutes of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.